بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 25th of October in the year 2020 and inshallah to spend the session talking about the most important deed in the believer's life and that is with regards to salah. So our beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his intense love for this priceless deed is known to one and all. Hafiz ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah, rahmatullah alayhi, he relates in his Asrar al-Salah, the inner dimensions of the prayer, page 71 to 2 of the English translation, so quote, the fruit of fasting is the purification of the soul. The fruit of zakat is the purification of the wealth. The fruit of Hajj is forgiveness. The fruit of Jihad is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bought it from his servants in exchange for paradise. But the fruit of Salah is the attention of the servant upon his Lord and the attention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given to his servant. Stop in the quote. So this was the great student of Hafiz ibn Taymiyyah, rahmatullah alayhi, Hafiz ibn Qayyim. He wrote many beneficial works. One of the works he wrote was Asrar al-Salah. And that could be translated the secrets of the prayer, or the inner dimensions. So he starts off by mentioning the maqsad. That means the why you do, what's the real core of why you do a deed. And he said the fruit of fasting is to purify the nafs. That's the real reason. The fruit of zakat is to purify your wealth. The fruit of hajj is forgiveness of your sins, eye purification of your sins. Jihad is paradise. But then he mentioned about salat. The fruit of salat is the attention of you, the servant, upon your Lord, and the attention of your Lord on you. Then he said, thus embarking towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with complete devotion in salat encompasses all the aforementioned fruits. Because the fruits of all good deeds are found when the servant embarks towards Allah with true devotion. So stop in the quote. So Hafiz ibn Qayyim said, all the fruits are mentioned thus far, you will find in salat. Then he said, this explains why the Prophet ﷺ never said, never, my comfort lies in fasting. He never said that. My comfort lies in Hajj. He never said that. My comfort lies in Umrah. He never said that. Or any other good deed. But he simply said, my comfort has been made in Salat. This is in Nasa'i, number 3939. So this is very significant. All deeds are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But why did he not say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my comfort lies in the other good deeds? He only said it for salah. But he said, in salah. Then the Shaykh said, it is also worthwhile to pay attention to the Prophet's choice of words, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, my comfort has been made in Salah. He did not say, my comfort is made with Salat. Why? Because the former means that comfort is achieved only after commencing Salah. Whilst the latter implies that such comfort is received even when not praying. SubhanAllah. This is why when he sought the comfort of his heart, he would say, O Bilal, call for Salat, give us comfort by it. This is in Abu Dawud, number 4985. So the Shaykh said, the words are revelation, obviously he's protected from making error. He said, he didn't say my comfort has been made with Salat. Because it's in Salat. Why? Because if he said with Salat, he could get the joy outside of Salat. But he only got that joy in. Meaning is when you're in the act of worship, You will taste the fruit. Then the great Shaykh Hafiz ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyya rahmatullahi went on to clarify in his Asrar al-Salah, the inner dimensions of the Salat, page 72-3 of the English translation, quote, "You ought to pause and reflect again upon his choice of words. My comfort is made in Salah because it reveals another secret. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say, let us relieve ourselves from the burden of duty, which is the attitude of those who pray just to release themselves from the obligation of Salat, who feel hassled every time they have to pray. And when they pray, they cannot wait to finish it. Why? Because the source of their comfort is found outside Salat, since their heart are filled with everything except Allah." Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look how beautiful. That's why you're rushing through Salat. Because your comfort is not in Salat. If it was in Salat, you won't want to finish. How many times people ask me, why did the Prophet pray all the night? Third of the night? Half the night? His feet swelled up. And the answer is, his love was in Salat. His comfort was in Salat. The reason you're asking that is because you haven't got the comfort. That's why you want to get out of that, to get to your comfort. Then the Shaykh said, hence praying merely keeps them from indulging in this worldly life that they love so very much. Salat is preventing them from the love of the dunya. They are easily observed from their manner of performing the prayer. They pray in a rush, lack of tranquility and calmness. Their salat is deficient. They utter with their tongues, which does not confirm in their hearts. All the while the voice of their hearts echoes, let's get this salat over and done with. Therefore, the difference between a person whose comfort is found in salat and a person whose comfort is found outside salat is obvious and self-evident. The former finds salat to be a grace upon his heart, through which he experiences tranquility, calmness, pleasure. Whereas the latter finds the salat akin to heavy chains, shackling his limbs and a gloomy cell, imprisoning his heart. This was the full quote. So now think about this. How much was he, rahmatullah alayh, trying to understand this deed? This shows that he was dedicating his life to this deed. He thought this is the greatest deed. Allah Ta'ala loves this deed. Why does he love this deed? What did the Prophet mean when he goes, my comfort is in Salat? And look how he's breaking it down. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala opens the hearts of these servants. And he loves Salat. Hafiz ibn Qayyim. In fact, people accused him of Riya. Such was Hafiz ibn Qayyim's own Salat that ignorant people said, oh, he's doing it out of show. But was he doing it out of show? Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now think about this. He would offer long standings. We all know this. But then he would offer long prostrations. Why? So a person goes, well, you know, his joy is in Salat. That's right. There's another reason. He stood for so long, he needed his feet to rest in sujood. And he went into sujood for so long that he needed to stand for a long time as well. Bole bale Musliman, right? Think about it. Because the scholars explain why he's doing things. Because when you stand, you notice you start, you know, you can't, your feet, his feet would swell up. Because the joy was so much, his body would get affected. Then he'd go into sujood. Why? Because that takes the pressure of the feet for so long. When I'm mentioning all this, what are you thinking of? Because where the heck am I in all this? And there you go. There's your connection to Salat. Right? It's just a burden. If it wasn't Farad, I wouldn't even do it. Indeed, there is nothing that can bring a servant closer to his Lord than to offer Salat as it ought to be offered. Hafiz ibn Qayyim, rahmatullah alayh, in his Asrar al-Salah, the inner dimensions of Salat, page 74 of the English translation, quoting, it is customary for kings to promise reward and nearness to those whom they are pleased with. For instance, the magician said to Fir'aun, Surah Al-Shu'ara, Surah 26, verse 41, أَإِنَّ لَنَا لَأَجْرًا إِن كُنَّا نَحْنُ الْغَالِبِينَ. Is there indeed for us a reward if we are the predominant? And he answered that they will be rewarded be amongst those nearest to him. What does he say? And then in Surah Al-A'raf, Surah 7, verse 114. أَوْذِ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. نَعَمْ وَإِنَّكُمْ لَمِنَ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ. Yes. And moreover, you'll be amongst those made near to me. So what's Hafiz Ibn Qayyim doing now? He's quoting Quran, where kuffar are talking to kuffar. Magicians at the time were unbelievers. And look what he said, Hafiz Ibn Qayyim. He deduced something from those verses. Because this is the sunnah of kings. That when you please them, what do? They give you a reward. And if you please them too much, they bring you near. Then look what he quotes as a proof. Kofar. What do the magicians say to Pharaoh? If we are dominant, will we be rewarded? And what does Pharaoh say in another verse of the Quran? Yes, you will also be made near to me. Even Pharaoh was following that sunnah. So why did he mention that? Because what he was saying was, there is nothing more pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than salat. It's the greatest need, your fruit cake. So if you offer it as it ought to be offered, what do you think is going to happen to you? Right? Think about that. Allah is not even letting you work here. Yeah, people, all they talk about salat is farad. What's wajib? Farad, wajib, mustahabbat. Right? You know, what about the maqsad, the essence of salat? Anybody talk about that? Question, what if you don't get this pleasure? And you're brutally honest, you say, look, I would love to say my joy is in salat, but I'm lying. So am I in a bad state? And this is the beauty of our deen. The Prophet never made you despair. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did he say? Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with pleasure. If you cannot, do not worry. For there is also abundant goodness in perseverance, even if you dislike it. SubhanAllah. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with pleasure. If you cannot, do not worry. For there is also abundant goodness in perseverance, even if you dislike it. This is in Ad-Dur al-Mantur 1-159, 5-429, Hafiz Zaraki in his Al-Mughni, and Hamal al-Asfar 3-57, Imam Ghazali in his Mukhtasar Ihya, in the chapter on the soul, page 255 of the English translation. There's the mercy. Most of us won't find the pleasure. So are we doomed? No. The Prophet then said, don't worry. If you persist in something that you find hard, there's abundant goodness in that. The key thing is to keep praying. You understand? If you don't get it, if you get it, it doesn't matter. Either way, you will get abundant goodness. Imam Ghazali added to this hadith, rahmatullah alayh, those at the start persevere until you acquire the habit. Look how interesting. The master of the heart, he said, at the beginning you're a novice. At the beginning you're a novice. So if you're a novice, what are you going to do? You're going to be finding it difficult. Novices do. He goes, persevere. Meaning, that's the beginning. But inshallah, who knows? Maybe you will start getting joy out of salat. What did I mention about Thabit al-Bunani and his salah? In Abu Nu'aym al-Hilya, he goes, for 20 years, I struggled with my salat. And then for the next 20 years, I enjoyed it. So don't think you're anything special. Somebody goes, brother, I've been praying 5 years, I still haven't got it. Well, you're not at the dust of Thabit al-Bunani. So don't worry about it. Just carry on. You should be grateful if you get pleasure. It took him 20 years. Tabi'in. Think about that. Further praising this habit, our beloved messenger himself said, look what he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, goodness is a habit. SubhanAllah. Goodness is a habit. This is in Ibn Majah, Tabarani in his Kabir, 19-386, Kanzul Oman, number 28,722, Al-Haythami in his Mawarid Az-Zaman, number 82. On another occasion, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, steadfastness is a treasure amongst the treasures of paradise. SubhanAllah. Steadfastness, istiqama, is a treasure amongst the treasures of paradise. recorded by Hafiz Ajluni in his Kashaf al-Khifa 2-72, Hafiz Shawqani in his Fath al-Qadir 5-322, Imam Ghazali in his Mukhtasar Ihya in the chapter on steadfastness and thanksgiving, page 361 of the English translation. So who is he talking to here? He's talking about those who are finding it difficult. Because if you are steadfast, that's a treasure of Jannah. You do shukr that you've been given this. On another occasion, he was asked about Iman. Think about this. The Holy Prophet ﷺ was asked, what is Iman? What did he say? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Steadfastness and forbearance. SubhanAllah. Steadfastness and forbearance. This is in Ahmad in his Musnad 4-385, Abu Ya'la in his Musnad 3-380, Abdul Razak in his Musannaf 3-72, Ibn Abi Shayba in his Al-Musannaf 6-161, Abdul Rahman ibn Hamid in his Musnad 1-124, Imam Ghazali in his Mukhtasar Ihya in the chapter on steadfastness and thanksgiving, page 361 of the English translation. Think about that. Half of Iman is steadfastness. Why? Link it to your Salat. I'm finding it difficult, but I'm never going to give it up. Isn't that half of Iman? That's your Salat. Forbearance, overlooking people's failings, that's another half of Iman, which the Prophet had in all the best qualities. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One must be calm in Salat. Go through each of the movements with poise and dignity. Why? Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the written Salah is likened to scales. Honesty gives an honest measure. The written Salah is likened to scales. Honesty gives an honest measure. This is in Darimi in his Sunan 1-419, Hafiz Munziri in his Tarheeb 1-351, Imam Ghazali in his Mukhtasar Ihya in the chapter on Salah, page 60 of the English translation. Scales. What are scales used for? You want to get what you're paying for. The Prophet said, Salat is like that. The scales should be used. Right? Why? I want to get the full benefit from my Salat. He goes, honesty gives an honest measure. Meaning the more you effort you put into it, the more you will take from that treasure. The less, the less. He also said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, two men of my ummah get up to offer salah. And their ruku and sujood are identical. However, the difference between their salah is as different between the heavens and the earth. This is recorded by Hafiz Iraqi in his Al-Mughni and Hamal Al-Asfar 1-147, Imam Ghazali in his Mukhtasar Ihya in the chapter on Salat, page 60 of the English translation. Think about that. They both know about Salat. They know the outward, the fiqh. Because the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, identical. Think about that. They only studied the fiqh. How dangerous is that? Identical. Outwardly, pass, tick, 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 tick. But what then did the Prophet say? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of them, his salat is in the heavens. The other is hardly got off the ground. What's gone wrong? What's gone wrong is inward. He just focused on the outward. Think about that. He just thinking backstray. Am I, you know, pausing between the movements? That's fake. Which is important. But what about the heart? Right? Every time you forget the number of rakats, your heart's gone somewhere else. Isn't that true? Think about this. This hadith, memorize it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at a salah in which a man does not bring his heart with his body. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not even look at a salah in which a man does not bring his heart with his body. Recorded by Hafiz Iraqi in his Al-Mughni and Hamal Al-Asfar 1-150, Imam Ghazali in his Mukhtasar Ihya in the chapter on Salat, page 60 of the English translation. There you go. If you think it's just fake, you've blown it. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala is not even looking at you. Because you left your heart somewhere else. And isn't there a famous hadith? The hadith is in Ahmad, Sahih Hadith. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in summary, there was a prophet of old. He led the people in Salat. When he finished, the Prophet said to the people, Allah Ta'ala has revealed to me, tell the people, they wash their bodies, they wash their clothes, but they leave their hearts away. Tell them I'm not in need of this Salat. Imam Ghazali said about that hadith, this shows that the inner state is, if not just as important, or even more important than the outward. And Imam Ghazali was of the firm opinion that the inward is further the in, just like the fiqh. So why do not the fiqh books discuss the heart? What do you think?
Nobody can see the heart. What's in the heart? Nobody can see what's in the heart.
Okay, you can't see the heart, but how is it related to fiqh? What does fiqh discuss?
Experience.
Explain. Why can't the fiqh discuss the heart?
Because it's more to do with...
So think about the fiqh. Give me a ruling of salat.
Regulation salat.
Rules. Right. So give me a ruling of salat which terminates your salat.
Talking in salat.
Talking in salat. Why? How? Why is that mentioned in the books of fiqh?
So it's easy to measure.
You can measure it. Fiqh can only measure things. If something cannot be measured, it's not going to be mentioned in the fiqh. You can't talk about it. Can you measure what's in the heart? Therefore, the imams, when they discuss the fiqh, they don't discuss the heart. They can't say to you, if 20% of your heart's present, your salah's valid. Well, how do you know that? You get whispers with that. Right? So therefore, because it's not mentioned, people ignorantly think it's not important. Have you understood this? But that's the danger. The heart is so important. Why? Second hadith to memorize. In Ahmad in his Musnad 5-364, Tabarani in his Kabir 6-340, Darimi in his Sunan, Al-Haytami in Majma al-Zawaid 1-145, Imam Ghazali in his Mukhtasar Ihya in the chapter on Salat, page 67 of the English translation. All these warnings, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam still said, many are those who stand for Salah, and the only benefit they get from it is tiredness and sweat. Astaghfirullah. Many are those who stand for Salah, and the only benefit they get is tiredness and sweat. What's the sadness in this hadith? The first word, many. The Prophet warned us, and he still said, you're not going to listen. I've told you, but I already know. It's going to go through one ear through the other. And what's the danger? You think you're offering Salat? You're going through the motions. But then, mashallah, perfect Hanafi Salat. Perfect Maliki Salat. You get taps on the back. Which person goes, but then, you know, I don't know, but inwardly, how did you feel? And he goes, well, to be honest with you, I was probably about 2%. Right? So that's what Allah Ta'ala looked at. He brought that to me. So the Prophet said, only thing you're going to get is tiredness and sweat. Many. Just like he mentioned about the fast, which is interesting. The hadith about the fasting is more famous. The only thing they get is hunger and thirst. So notice, it's not the action. The inward has to be in place. Hafiz ibn Qayyim said, in his Asrar al-Salat, the inner dimension of Salat, page 57 of the English translation, one of the Salaf said, rahmatullah alayh, the example of a man who offers Salat without achieving calmness, tranquility in his Salat is then just like a person who is hungry, but when food is served, he incredibly only takes one or two morsels. What then will that do for him? So imagine, well, let's take the fast for example. The summer fast and you're very hungry. All the food is placed and you have one, two khajur. Will that say, well, are you still hungry? Yes. Why you stop eating? Because that is the example of the one who hasn't got the benefit from his salat. The whole feast is waiting for him. Allah Ta'ala has given him a feast. And instead of you taking every nut and cranny of that blessing, you take one or two morsels. Because how foolish is that? So note, the salat has to be guarded. And one of the guarding, the most important guardings, is the heart. And you have to focus upon that. And that's why you notice that the scholars of the heart discuss this at great length. If you're a fiqhi baba, this is something that, you know, you never even heard. And even they'll start saying, your prayer is valid, brother. Your prayer is valid. And according to Imam Ghazali, no, it's not. It's not valid. In fact, one report from the Prophet himself said, it's thrown back in your face. Like a dirty rag. Is what sort of a salat is this? Thrown back in your face. And there's another hadith to finish. The hadith is in Nasai. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that a person offers salat, and then he mentioned fractions. He gets this, he gets this fraction, this fraction, this fraction, this fraction. Why did the Prophet mention that? Sahih hadith in Nasai. Because you get what you put in. Going back to that feast example. So if you put 10% in, you got 10% of the salat. But the hadith also subtly indicates you might not get anything. So there's the mercy. You will get. It's not Allah Ta'ala wanting 100% from you. There's a basic minimum level you've got to get. So you got the salat in order. And inshallah, that will be an easier amount because Allah Ta'ala is most merciful. But we shouldn't be happy with that. We should be thinking, I want more. I want 30%, 40%. How do you get that? And you discuss this glorious deed. And look how the scholars of the heart mention this glorious deed at great length. And goes back to that hadith. My comfort has been made in salat. If your comfort is in salat, you can't wait to get to salat. Because that's where your enjoyment is. If your comfort is not in salat, you can't wait to get out of it. And the fact that we can't wait to get out of it proves that our comfort is somewhere else. Right? Even the psychologists tell you that if you don't want to do something, your body starts reacting. How? You yawn and you groan. You're resisting. But when you are totally engaged, no yawning. You stop breathing. How do you hardly stop? You don't even blink. Look at Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. He read the entire Quran in one rakat, in salat. So was his joy in salat? You read that report, is it possible? Right? Next to the black stone. Not only possible, next to the black stone. And he was Amir al-Mu'mineen and he was about 80 years old. Right? Bayhaqi. And then you think. And the man who actually saw him, he said to him, because you forgot the number of rakats. He goes, no. I know the number of rakats. It was my witr. The man thought he's forgot the second rakat. He observed him. He's in absolute shock. He goes, he didn't do the second rakat. He said, my witr. I haven't got time for the second rakat. Think about that. And then you look at your salah. Oh man, it's like I'm in gym. You know, you actually go to, it looks like a gym. You know, when you walk into the masjid, you see grunting and groaning. Yawning, groaning, grunting, groaning. Yawning, groaning, grunting, groaning. That's what it is. That's the zikr. Yawning, groaning, grunting, groaning. Right? And then they spend more time outside the masjid than inside the masjid. Astaghfirullah. Right? So note, this is why salat's been given to us. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, salat is a proof. In Tirmidhi, it's a proof of what? Of iman. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, salat is a burhan. It's a evidence. Evidence of what? Right? And notice, and it's the only deed that Allah the Almighty and Glorious gave directly as a gift to His beloved Messenger. He didn't even send it down to the earth. It was that precious. He brought the Prophet up to Him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to give Him that glorious deed. Think about that. That's how precious that deed was. The King of Kings gave it to the most exalted servant in such a sublime manner. And that's why when the Sahaba got the Salat, how did they react? They were like, you know, like they won the lottery, like we say it. They were going, Subhanallah, Salat. And when we hear about Salat, what happens? Oh, is it five? Can I combine it? Right? But there you go, innit? Astaghfirullah. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي الحمد لله سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واتوب الله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل الانسان لفي خسر الا الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم